This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome. Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Hour two of our podcast broadcast today. I was asked again today, hey, do you do podcasts yet? I was asked that again today. I'm like, podcast. Yeah. Oh, what's the content? I'm like, it's our show, man.
Yeah. Yeah, you just go on there.
It's like, wait, you don't do a separate podcast? Why would I do a separate podcast?
Do people not understand?
I don't understand that.
The only difference between radio and a podcast is that one is downloaded. So if you take a radio show and you download it on our app, where most of the people do, then it magically becomes a podcast.
Yeah. That is a hard concept for people. It's really strange.
It's very weird.
Like, well, I don't really listen to your show, but I listen to your podcast. It's the same thing.
Hey, do you own a car? Yeah, it's right there. But you're not driving it. No, I'm sitting in it. Yeah, but you're not driving it. Yeah, but you know what? You can drive it. I'm sitting in it now, but I can back out and drive it. It's still a car. Oh, that makes sense.
So if you want our podcast.
Yeah, just download it.
You can go get it.
Like
on
what?
Podcast areas.
Well, like 15 minutes after the hour, Mike posts them, something like that?
Usually sooner than that.
All right, well, there
hour,
you go.
Hour one's been up for 5 minutes.
I even asked the question the other day, very, very poignant question to our new sales manager, Ryan Cooley, who is back from Boston.
Yeah.
Conveniently a Yankee fan. I asked him, I said, why are we even on the AM radio? Like, do we even need that anymore? He's like, oh, yeah. Decent point. And it's all podcasts, apps, and the listen when you want, where you want. You know, that whole thing.
There are still lots of people, including myself, that drive around listening to us on the radio, though.
Well, his ultimate point was, well, it doesn't hurt you.
No, it does not.
To be on the radio.
I like being on the radio.
I like doing a podcast. I feel younger and hip.
Yeah, because nothing says young and hip like Isaac Ropp.
All right. Zach LaVine, tickle your little taint there?
Not in particularly.
Why not?
Well, you got one of two things here. Either you're going to have to renounce basically a huge chunk of your roster to clear the space to go get him. Does Zach LaVine really want to take 157 as opposed to, was it 219, 220 that Chicago can offer him?
I mean, the smoke seems to be he doesn't want to be on the Bulls anymore. So
then are we talking about a sign and trade? And then if you are talking about a sign and trade, then Simon certainly is included in that.
I'm okay with that.
I do think there's an element, especially if you have to renounce quite a bit to go get Zach LaVine to clear that space. And if he does want to come here, I'm not so certain with that roster construction. If you're a ton different than when you had Dame and CJ, you've got a guy that's bigger, but doesn't play any defense. You also have a guy that has a huge history of injuries, which we know we love here in Portland. And by the way, supposedly he's going undergoing surgery this offseason to try to deal with that bulky knee. So, look, I get that guy's been a two-time All-Star, but I think sometimes we get caught up in the idea of an All-Star. Look, CJ was an All-Star. He just happened to be out West, and it was a lot harder. If CJ had been out East, he would have been an All-Star once or twice. So Zach LaVine has made two All-Star teams. Zach LaVine is not an All-NBA type of player. To me, if that's the best you can do, I understand. I would rather roll the dice with Simons and Lillard and spend that money going after to get wings or front court players. But that's just me.
Yeah, I mean,
I hate that he can't defend.
Yes.
That bothers me a lot.
Well, I was going to say, I think it's great, potentially great, that the Blazers are being mentioned with a guy like Zach LaVine, because that means that that level of player may be interested in coming to Portland. It could mean that at the very least.
Yeah.
It could also just be Cronin asked Windhorst for a favor and said, hey, throw our name in there so that we are relevant to free agents.
Yeah.
Well, I guess too. Yeah, exactly. I think it's, well, there's
I
a lot
also
of,
wonder if the,
there's a lot of smoke screens being thrown out there.
If any of the trade exceptions the Blazers created could help with not giving up a lot of your salary.
So,
because they have like three trade exceptions now, right?
Yeah, but again, if Chicago is willing to, if Zach LaVine's like, no, I want my full 220 mil, Chicago's not going to take trade exceptions back. Chicago's going to be like, great, give me young players. So to me, if you, if the only way to get Zach LaVine is a sign and trade, I don't know how Anthony Simons is not shipped out. And it has been pointed out that I think with Zach LaVine, you're going to overpay for him, and that's fine. I think I would rather roll the dice and underpay for Simons for a couple years than overpay for Zach LaVine, because I think I know what I have in Zach LaVine, and it's good. It's not great. I don't think you have a full understanding of what you have in Anthony Simons. So I would rather roll the dice with that and spend that capital in the front court, finding guys that are dynamic and can defend and are long and rangy. Whereas this, I think you just have a taller version of Dame and CJ and an injury-prone one at that.
So LaVine's a free agent. He's with the Bulls.
Yes.
Brian Windhorst floated him out there as Portland has emerged as a potential landing spot. Why he wants out is interesting. Didn't really say, you know.
Yeah, because originally it was the idea that he's going to come back, and then
He may not want out. We're assuming a lot.
He's got that Rich Paul Clutch Sports. That's Nurk's agent too, and he just came out and said that everyone assumed he was coming back to Chicago, and he said, "Well, we're going to test free agency. We're going to take our time and explore kind of what's out there."
Right. So, interesting. I put him in the Jeremy Grant type of mold where it's like these guys that the Blazers are linked to the Blazers are all nice players. I mean, you know, you can pick Zach LaVine apart for sure, but you're not going to get players better than guys like Zach LaVine and Jeremy Grant.
I wouldn't think so. No,
you're really not. Like who are you going to get? I mean, that's the level of player that you're talking about surrounding Damian Lillard with, which is why I continually go back to this draft pick. And I just think it's so important.
Top four.
That they get a guy in the draft that could be a difference maker player in a couple of years. That's it. To me, Zach LaVine, fine, whatever. I feel like there are so many guys that the Blazers are going to could go out and get, and any combination of them will make them pretty good, not great.
Yeah.
Right? And Zach LaVine falls right into that category. Jeremy Grant is in that category. Anybody else, the next name that comes up is probably going to be in that category. I mean, they're not going to be mentioning Kevin Durant.
No. Well, you look through the free.
So that's why you go back to the draft.
Yeah.
That's how you get a difference maker player. And, you know, it's no guarantee that you hit on it, but that just being in and around the top five
makes a difference.
There's your chance right there.
And for people saying,
so
well,
Zach LaVine, whatever.
Yeah, people are like, well, could LaVine play the three? Then you have a ridiculously undersized 1, 2, and 3, and none of them can play defense.
So, I mean, that's just the same as Dame CJ and Norm Powell.
It's the same. Yeah. So, no, you can't. To me, if you bring in LaVine, you're saying no to Simons. And I'd rather have Simons at 20 mil than Zach LaVine at a sign and trade of 200 and whatever.
See, I'd trade Simons for LaVine.
Would you?
I would. I could be talked out of it, but again, I don't think Simons is, the ceiling of Simons is quite where a lot of people think it is. Mm-hmm. And yes, the money thing is a good point, but you know, Damian Lillard's getting up there. It's go time.
Yeah.
Like right now.
Yeah.
So some of these names.
And LaVine's only 27. I mean, he's been around a while, but he's not old.
No, and he can play.
Yeah.
I don't know. None of these names really blow your hair back, but.
But this is, like you said, this
better
is
than Al-Farouq Aminu and Mo Harkless.
Exactly.
And those guys.
Exactly.
Look, getting Zach LaVine here, he's, you know, whether you think it's an East-West thing, he's a two-time All-Star. And when's the last time outside of Damian Lillard that you had a two-time All-Star? Is
Roy?
Roy or Zach
Aldridge.
Aldridge. There you go. So, yeah.
LaMarcia.
Like, yeah. I mean, that's.
And we hated him.
That's seriously, though. Think about that. Outside of Lillard, your last three All-Stars are Zach Randolph, Brandon Roy, and LaMarcus Aldridge. It's been a while. So, no, if you bring in a two-time All-Star, yeah, no one should be complaining.
Yeah, and I think that's where Simons comes into me. I think if you're able to bring in a two-time All-Star and flip Simons to get him, I think that that's a really good sell high move.
Sure.
You're selling Simons when everybody's like salivating over him. The reality of him turning into what I think some people think he is not likely.
Sure. I mean, I get where you're coming with.
So I'll take the proven commodity in LaVine.
I just wish if it's going to be something like that, I would like when Milwaukee went out and got like Drew Holiday or someone like that with Chris Middleton, when you got someone that is a, you know, and not that those guys are necessarily stars, but maybe a little more well-rounded, defensive-minded, versatile type players. Like, we keep hearing that you want to get Chauncey's guys, right? And that you want to get kind of grinders. And is Zach LaVine, who's a high-flying guy with knee issues, whose explosiveness took a hit last year, and whose game really is predicated on being explosive.
And who didn't play well in the playoffs this year.
Right. Is that really that doesn't play defense, even though he's 6'5"? Is that really a Chauncey Billups guy?
Doesn't seem it.
That just, I don't know if the fit is necessarily there. And for a team that isn't going to be able to build the super team, so let's just get that out of there, right? You're not going to go down that road.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah. Go get Kevin Durant while you're at it. He's pretty good. I think it's kind of imperative that, you know, now with Joe Cronin being they took the interim tag off of him, and it's going to be Cronin, it's going to be Chauncey Billups. I think it's imperative that you don't necessarily build the biggest name or the biggest all-star kind of team, that you try to build the right team with the right fit. And I'm not certain, and maybe they think differently because it's, I mean, they're the ones that have to make the call. It just doesn't seem from my point of view that LaVine fits with necessarily what you're doing, other than he's a name that you've heard of, he's an all-star, and he would get fans excited because of those things.
All right, yeah, you mentioned it. Cronin is now officially the GM. So for those of you that were wondering what the hell was going on there, they made him GM today.
Yes.
He's the guy.
They took, although I did see that
four-year deal.
One of the Blazer Twitter accounts, I forget, like, you know, they have all these different, you know, Blazer Nation and different stuff. So someone put out a picture, you know, it was like the Blazers are promoting Joe Cronin, but the photo on there was Mick Cronin.
So you're running a Blazer Twitter account and yet you don't know what your own GM looks
like. Wait a minute, it was really a Blazers account?
Well, it was a Blazer fan account. It was a Blazer fan account.
They were joking,
no.
Correct?
No. No.
Oh, dear.
No.
Oh, dear.
It was one of those, like, blog accounts that have gotten really popular recently.
Yeah, there's a bunch. And some of those people do really good work. I mean,
well, this one put Mick Cronin up.
Yeah. I saw that this
morning. They are both bald.
I saw that this morning, and I just started laughing.
Cronin's a pretty good coach, too.
Yeah, Cronin is a good coach.
I mean, who would you rather have as Blazers GM, Mick Cronin or Joe Cronin? There's an argument to be made.
I'm not certain that Mick is up on the NBA game.
Yeah, you could figure it out. He's a bulldog down there on the sideline.
He is very aggressive. I don't know if he has any history in the NBA, but...
Oh, my God.
I love when stuff like that happens because...
You know, you find the account? I think you owe it to the people
to find out who that was.
Who was that?
I'll dig it up.
That's fantastic.
I saw it this morning, and I'll go back and find it.
I'll find it. Jewish Rampage just quote tweeted it.
So. Oh, did he?
He just quote tweeted
of Blazers it. Radio fame.
Yes.
Yeah. He said
Travis DeMar.
It is at Blazers Nation CP. He says, "Hey, at Blazers Nation CP, this is Mick Cronin, not Joe Cronin.
God,
come on, man."
Come on, man.
I love stuff like this. I love it.
Why don't you get in the middle of it?
Try to stir the pot a little
bit.
Yes.
Get on Twitter right now.
Take a shot back at them. Hey, they follow me, so go Blazer Nation. I think you guys are doing,
I unfollowed you.
I think you're doing a great job. Couldn't handle it anymore.
Tired of your crap.
Yeah, me and who's it? Darren Revell that you keep unfollowing?
Well, you do tweet a lot, Sue. Of the three of us, I feel like you tweet the most.
I tweet a lot?
I follow Mike. I still follow Mike. Huh? Mike's got great Twitter.
Thanks.
So good.
All right.
You like Mike's fan?
His Colorado Rockies.
His video game Colorado Rockies season?
Twitch streams.
That's right.
Click on those. Local Sports Beans is the title of our next segment. Coming up next hour, I want to keep you around because, boy, we got some interesting NFL broadcast news today. And we will get to that in our next hour of radio broadcast, 5:15. So up next, Local Sports Beans, 4:18 on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Well, COVID was down to its last at bat in the bottom of the ninth, but oh boy,
yeah,
as it mounted a rally,
came roaring back. You know, it's tough. You know, it's a gritty virus.
It is, you know, a gritty virus. You can never count it out.
It's not the most talented virus, but you know,
well, it's a lot for of you effort. Next in
it's pretty talented, Souk.
In the news.
Well, not compared to some.
It's like a 38-year-old in the bottom of the ninth mounting a comeback.
But right now, a segment entitled Local Sports Beans. Thank you. A couple of local notes that we should touch on because we sometimes neglect stories like these because we're jerks. But in this instance, we're not going to be.
Oh, well, good for us. Is it possible, though, that while we're talking about the stories, we're still kind of jerks?
Yes.
Yeah, because sometimes we
entirely
do. Sometimes
possible.
We do talk about them, and then you kind of end up being dismissive. And
well, I don't think you should be snarky. Dismissive of any of these three stories. I think they're great, and that's why I wanted to put them all together in a fun little segment called Local Sports Beans.
I can't wait for my beans.
Well, as I told you yesterday, the Ducks and Beavers women's golf teams are in the NCAA regionals. Now, the Beavers are not playing well, and they are likely not going to make the NCAA championships. Mm. Okay.
All right.
So if you're rooting for the Beavers, you need to root super hard for them to go super low tomorrow because they are not in good shape. Okay?
All right.
Now the Ducks are dominating. They are leading their region by 8 shots going into the third and final round.
Yikes.
All you have to do is finish in the top four and you advance to the as a team and then you advance to the championships.
Do we know how far out the Beavs are?
Yeah, they were in, I just looked at it. They were like seventh, but they're 17 shots back
from the fourth
of getting a top four spot.
Well, that's
it's, like I said. Look,
I'm no
things are not looking good.
I'm no mathematician, but in one round, 17 shots seems like a lot.
That's as a team.
As a team,
and there's I think 5 or 6 players each team. You know, okay, so it can be done. But
you need everyone to go out and shoot 64. Come on.
You know, it's probably not likely.
Yes.
But the Ducks are dominating their regional. They are likely headed to the NCAAs, and that's big. That's, you know, that's big stuff.
I remember a number of years ago when the men won the title. That was fun.
Well, they're already in the NCAA. This is the regionals,
yes,
but I mean the championship.
The championship round.
And that will be, it's not next weekend. I think it's, let's see, I'll look at my calendar. It's the 20th through the 25th.
Where's that at?
They're playing it in Scottsdale. I think it's at Greyhawk.
Okay.
And so that'll be awesome. And that stuff usually gets on to like the Golf Channel.
Yeah.
So you'll get to see some of the Oregon women. Hopefully. They got to finish this off. But they're in good shape at their regional. And so good for them.
So apparently the favorite is USC from what I see here. USC, Stanford?
No.
LSU? Am I not...
Oh, you mean like, as like nationally?
Yes.
Yeah. Those are great teams.
Yeah.
I just looked at the rankings. I have no idea.
I looked up the Ducks. The national rankings were, I just thought because the Pac-12 had some, Southern California was one, Stanford was two.
Yeah. Oregon has a really good team. They won the Pac-12 for the first time ever this year. And like I said, they're leading their regional. So watch out.
Yeah.
Lady Ducks.
All right. Go Duckies.
Winterhawks. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
My Winterhawks, yes.
I didn't know you knew.
I did.
That the Winterhawks existed, or that you were aware that the playoffs were going on.
Look, the Winterhawks do exist. I know that. Of course I know that. I've been to two games.
In your life?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. And I had fun.
Well, that it is.
It's hockey.
It is entertaining.
Those are
hockey.
The only live hockey games I've ever been to.
Never been to an NHL game?
No.
You should go.
So they say. The Winterhawks lead the Thunderbirds 2-0.
They are unbeaten in this postseason.
They're awesome.
Yes.
And, of course, the Thunderbirds are the rival, you know.
Yes.
And we hate them, right?
You are correct. It is.
Are we supposed to hate them?
Yes. Anytime
Seattle, they're from Seattle.
Anytime Seattle comes to town and they always like play like on New Year's, it's always a fun night.
Yeah. So game, three is tomorrow.
You are correct.
And it'll be here. Although I do have a question.
What do you got?
For you hockey douches. played game one. Let me look at the schedule. I think they played game one in Seattle and then game two in Portland. Why did they do it that way?
That I actually don't know. And
I thought it was like a 2-2.
I wasn't familiar that they
that
did
is
that.
Very strange if that's the case. I would have no idea
it
why.
It may have been a typo, but the schedule I saw online, that's what it said.
Yeah, that does seem a little weird. I wouldn't have necessarily would have ever thought that. Because, no, I mean, normally it's just like anything else. It doesn't make any sense to... Because it's not like you make that decision based on the fact that it's Portland and Seattle. That seems very odd to me. So, couldn't tell you.
And finally, Max, my Oregon State Beavers baseball team,
yes,
is second in the nation,
mm-hmm,
behind only Tennessee.
They just got done kicking the hell out of Oregon in a 4-game series.
And according to 3 of the 6 national polls, they are number 1.
Oh, really? They're better than Tennessee?
Yes.
I saw I was just looking at the stats. You know what Tennessee's team ERA is?
Let's go 1.97.
Really close.
Really?
2.02. Like filthy good.
That's ridiculous.
Well, they got that guy who throws 106 miles an hour, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen him. What's his name? He's great.
I don't know. I just seen that every now and then a clip pops up of him on Twitter, and the dude brings heat, and
he's
it
a
moves.
Starter.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Oh, by the way, Hockey Bro is in.
Yeah.
Conflict.
Yeah.
At the Coliseum.
Okay.
That's why they had to start it up in Seattle.
Gotcha.
Coliseum had another event booked. Apparently, it was a graduation.
Oh.
Someone said they...
Shows you the importance of the WHL.
So true.
That does happen at
times.
Why
do they do that? Like, you can't do that, man. Well, Winterhawks have you pissed.
You don't know when the playoffs are officially going to start or where you're going to be at. And
yeah, you got to block it out.
You got to take that big Lewis and Clark money. The Glass Palace needs their money.
All right. Well, go Winterhawks. Beavers are now ranked 2nd. And as Mike said, some think the best team in college baseball. They just won. They just swept Oregon, and I think they swept the season series from Oregon. They have just 7 games left before the Pac-12 tournament, including 3 against UCLA, who is a top 25 team. They are led by Jacob Melton, who is a name you'll probably hear a lot about in the coming years. He is their star. Now I have a fun, before we get to in the news, a quick fun game for you guys.
Okay.
How many Oregon State baseball alumni major leaguers can you name over under 8?
Like of all time or that are currently playing?
Current.
Right? No. Just anybody who played at Oregon State that played in the bigs.
Okay, well, Nick Madrigal.
Yep.
Drew Rasmussen.
Yep.
Those are 2 modern guys.
2.
I can't say Adley yet because he's still in the minors. Unless you have him on the list.
I had him on the list, but you're right. We can't.
Well, you got.
You can't go
what,
there.
What are the 2 that you named?
I named Nick Madrigal and Drew Rasmussen.
Well, you got Jacoby Ellsbury.
Yeah.
You got.
There's 3.
What's Gillespie's first name?
Cole. Connor. Oh, Cole.
Cole Gillespie.
Connor was his brother, right?
4.
Dallas Buck got to the bigs, right?
I don't know about that, fella.
We don't know that he got there?
He was really good in here, but I don't think he got there.
You got the Quanner.
Stephen Kwan, currently in
the killing it.
He's a Cleveland Steamer. There's 5.
Who else we got? Oh, the great Jamie Burke. Huh?
Yeah, that's good.
Jamie Burke.
That is acceptable. 2 more. Actually, you need 3 more to get the over.
Who are we missing?
You're missing several.
The Wonger never
made
it.
Well, you're missing a really obvious
one. Oh, Darwin Barney.
Darwin Barney.
Yeah, there you go. There's seven.
Friend of the program.
You're missing another obvious one.
Who are we missing?
Of recent time.
Of recent time. Yeah. We're missing an arm, right?
He's not an arm.
He's not an arm?
Nope. I mean, there are. I have three more arms on this list. Yeah, a guy with three arms. Crazy. that you would know. But they're a little lesser known. As a matter of fact, one of them, I didn't even know he played at Oregon State, but I guess he did. He's still in the bigs. Pitcher. But this guy.
Michael Conforto.
There you go.
Wow.
There you
rat
go.
Farts.
All right. You
would
guys
you see
need
that
one
eventually
more.
We figured out what was going on with Conforto? Like he.
No, what is going
well,
on?
Well, he had surgery. He's having season ending surgery.
On what?
I think it was his shoulder. Because he went from the Mets offered him like $100 million. He turned it down. And he bet on himself. And then all of a sudden, like free agency hit. We had the weird lockout thing, and then he didn't sign to anyone. Everyone was like, what the hell was going on? Well, then his agent said that he was having season-ending surgery. So for the longest time, no one knew what the hell was going on with Conforto. And I was like, he wasn't great for the Mets, but I was like, I would have been happy to have him back, and no one else wanted him, but he just was injured.
Dallas Buck never made it.
Buck never made it?
No. As a matter of fact, they say he hasn't played in the minors since 2011.
I thought he would have.
He was a third round pick of the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
Then he had Tommy John, and then he moves on to the Reds. He was traded, and he was in the Adam Dunn trade.
Really?
Remember the big Adam Dunn trade?
I do remember the big Adam Dunn
Dallas
trade.
Dallas Buck was a part of that, but he kept getting hurt. And
so the other arms on the list that you have are lesser known arms.
One of them is a major league pitcher in a starting rotation right now, I do believe. The other two were relievers, one of whom may still be in the league, the other one is not. So there you go. That's just the ones that I can think of off the top of my head. I mean, there's obvious ones, like Steve Lyons played at Oregon State.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, a long time ago, but that would have been acceptable. Mm. You only need one more to get the over, and then the crowd goes wild.
I don't know. I'm kind of drawing a blank.
Are you?
I'm scanning the teams. Give me a second.
How long will this take?
Well, you guys can talk. This is your job.
Oh. All right.
Well, I don't know. I'm kind of tapped out now. I mean, I'm sure there's ones out there that when you tell me, I'd be like, duh, but that's...
This guy is not... He's currently hurt. The guy I said was on a... in a rotation. He's currently hurt. But he's pretty good?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Give it to me. What do you got?
Okay. Mike Stutes got a cup of coffee in the bigs.
Okay.
For the Phillies, I believe. Jace Fry.
Ah, see, there I should have gotten.
Reliever for the White Sox.
White Sox.
And I'm not sure if he's still there.
I think he's
on
the Orioles now, isn't he?
Yeah, I think that might be right. I think you're right. I think he's in Baltimore. And the guy I was talking about who I thought was in a rotation is Matthew Boyd, who was with the Tigers, but now he has moved.
I didn't know he was Oregon State.
He has moved on to the Giants, but he's hurt.
Okay.
So you do not get crowd cheers.
No, I'm sorry about that.
No crowd cheers for you.
Happy we got seven.
Sorry, Beavs.
Crowd cheers for me, though.
Sorry. Yeah, for stumpiness.
Yeah. That is local sports bean. By the way, what a lineage from Oregon State now.
Well,
you know,
they were talking about this. Dusty and Tyson Alzer were talking about this today, and he had brought up, Tyson did, that he thinks that in terms of local sports hierarchy, he thinks the number one most impressive thing is the Oregon State 3 national championships. And seriously, when you think about a little school in Corvallis, in rainy ass Oregon with a lot of local kids that put together not one, not two, but three national championships, that really is about as improbable as something as you can come up with. And like they brought up Gonzaga, which is really impressive. Gonzaga never won a title. Oregon State won three, and they've built a consistent winner. And then Pat Casey leaves. Right. And here they are again, back as one of the favorites.
Yeah.
I mean, this this is not a flash in the pan. By the way, a former player comes back.
Yep.
And here you go. I mean, this is
they're awesome.
It is amazing what they have accomplished, considering that on just the West Coast alone, you're not just competing against other Pac-12 teams and places like Southern California, which may be the most storied baseball program in the entire country. But of course, you got the Arizona States. But then you're dealing with the Cal States. And you're dealing with the Long Beaches of the world. There are so many good baseball programs up and down the West Coast. And the one in Corvallis, of all places, is the one that's built a modern dynasty. I don't know if it's the most impressive, but it sure as hell belongs in the conversation and on the medal stand. as the most impressive things accomplished in this area ever.
And there you have local sports beans. Go Winterhawks. Go Lady Ducks golf team and Beavers.
You're not allowed to call them the Lady Ducks.
Women's Ducks golf teams.
I did that and I got yelled at, so.
Women's Ducks golf team. Ducks women's golf team?
I think, yeah. You can call them the Lady Vols, but I think that's it. Other than that, it's just
and
the Oregon's
Go Beaver team. Baseball.
And yes. Ducks baseball was ranked until they ran into the buzzsaw that was the Beavs.
Yes.
They were like ranked 23rd or something.
Well, they brought back baseball simply because of the Beavers. They couldn't let them have it.
They were so jealous.
Hasn't worked out quite the way you were hoping.
In the news is next. Here's Mike.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, that's right. It is prime time with Isaac and Souk.
Hey, will you shut up? Can you guys shut up?
Right now, it is May 10, 2022. It is time for In the News. I'm your noted and carbon neutral newsman. Hello. Thank you. Today is National Shrimp Day. Do you like shrimp, Jason?
I do. I love shrimp.
Yeah. Isn't that your like go-to seafood?
That is my go-to seafood. I will always choose shrimp.
Love shrimp.
The only thing I don't like the shrimp cocktails.
Why?
I don't like the raw shrimp. The cold shrimp. I like my, you can grill me up something. You can saute. You can fry that little bitch. But I don't like the shrimp cocktails.
Okay.
But you go, you bring me somewhere and they got a good coconut or like some Jamaican jerk shrimp. Ooh.
Jamaican now, jerk shrimp.
Oh, so good.
See, I would go the shrimp cocktail route.
Yeah?
And that would be my first choice for
shrimp. That's the only kind of shrimp that I pass on.
It is also clean up your room day. So I hope you did that today.
Yeah, you should never have. As an adult, there's no excuse for having a pig pen of a room.
Correct.
It's disgusting.
Like your brother's shoes.
Yeah, just be better than that. It's the same thing if your car is trashed. It says something about you. Clean it up. You don't have to be spotless. I'm not saying your room needs to be, you know, immaculate, but...
Well, you're so right about the car being trashed.
Yes.
What is that about?
You put every now and then, you look down, you know, run a vacuum through there.
Right.
Pick up your freaking garbage out of it. This
have a little pride.
Exactly. Don't wear lawn mowing shoes out in public.
A new COVID wave is underway in Oregon. With new cases and hospitalizations both surging from their post-Omicron low points in the past 6 weeks.
Oh, boy.
This is largely fueled by the BA2 variant. The BA2 version of the Omicron variant.
The BA Baracus is now a form of the coronavirus?
Hospitalizations reached a low point of 84 on April 7th, but have more than doubled to 199 in the past few weeks.
I know. So yeah. are we back should we be back to freaking out or?
Yeah, I say freak out.
Is it time to hit the panic button? Oh, and by the way, shrimp cocktail guy is in. He's very, very mad.
Why?
Yeah, because shrimp cocktail is cooked. It's been boiled, but then it's cool. So.
Yeah, in your face.
I hate shrimp cocktail.
I apologize, shrimp cocktail guy. By the way, it's still effing disgusting. Get it the hell out of here.
Yeah, shrimp cocktail, I think, is the worst food that people love.
Not oysters.
Are you serious?
It's disgusting.
Mike, I'm so on board. Oh. Thank you.
You think it's disgusting?
Yeah.
You just said you love shrimp.
Yeah, I hate shrimp cocktail.
I like shrimp, too. I hate cold shrimp. And I hate the sauce.
Huh. I've never heard this take.
Yeah. Very I love all kinds of shrimp. I hate that kind.
I don't love shrimp. I do like shrimp.
Did you say the worst food that people love?
Yeah, because it feels like everyone loves shrimp cocktail.
I do.
And I just despise it.
I'm with Mike in this, in that everyone does, like, if you go out to a seafood place, everyone's like, oh, let's order a shrimp cocktail. And I'm like, why?
You think it's just because they think it's a cocktail?
But I feel the same way about Bloody Marys. Everyone's always like, let's get Bloody Marys.
Bloody Marys are also disgusting.
You don't like Bloody Marys?
I hate them. I may hate them worse than the shrimp cocktail.
I think I would argue I hate them worse than shrimp cocktail as well.
My seventh degree of hell.
What is this? Me and Souk agreeing on a food
bonding.
Take for the first time
this
ever.
Is weird.
That is like my living hell is walking in and being like, hey, guys, we're having cocktails and shrimp. And I'm like, awesome. What are we having? Bloody Marys and shrimp cocktails.
Oh, my God.
Just kick me in the balls.
I'm not eating or drinking anything.
You don't like tomato juice?
No, it's disgusting.
Yeah, it's awful. Yeah.
I can see that.
And then it's just like piled with like, you know, you get this Bloody Mary and it's got like a slice of bacon and
hell
like 19.
Yeah.
Like what?
Yes.
What am I, like a charcuterie board in my cocktail?
Maybe
no.
I think generally speaking, I think cold seafood is bad. I like sushi, but like if you're getting any cold seafood, like if you get one of those seafood towers and everything's cold, I hate it.
Well, but you just totally took sushi out of it. Like, I mean,
you know? I did take sushi out of it. Yes.
Why? You can't just pick and choose. You said you hated cold seafood. Well,
but
you
like
don't
sushi.
Because you love sushi.
I think I like so sushi because there's 17 other things along with the fish, so I can ignore the cold fish.
I think he did say in general, which does leave the door open.
To eliminate one major cold seafood? Jesus. Be better, Mike.
Mike, I like your shrimp cocktail and your Bloody Mary. Better.
Stop liking shrimp cocktail. It's bad.
Yeah, I like it. And I like a Bloody Mary every now and then. I have to be in the right mood.
See, exactly. You have to be in the right mood because it's not good.
Yeah.
You may be in the mood for it, but it's not good.
As far as morning drinks go, there's generally acceptable three. And if you're having morning drinks, I think it's all about what you're in the mood for and what kind of day drinking it's going to be for you. To me, if I do not have a big day drinking day, a couple Bloody Marys are great. If I really want to get it cranked up for a big day drinking day,
OJ vodka,
or mimosa,
the screwdriver or the mimosa. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Or, you know, just one or two, you can go with the coffee, you
Irish
know, like
coffee.
Yeah. A Bailey's and coffee or something like that.
But what I don't understand is I hear this from a lot of people. No one really likes tomato juice.
I don't.
Yeah, right.
But I like Bloody Marys.
This is my question. No one likes tomato juice. So is there another cocktail that the base of the cocktail is something that no one likes, but then we add a little bit of booze into it with a bunch of other crap, and all of a sudden we're like, well, this is good.
I would argue every cocktail that starts with vodka.
Like what?
What?
People say they like vodka. Who really likes vodka?
No. You don't understand. You
have it backwards.
You have it backwards.
Oh, sorry.
So a screwdriver is orange juice, which is delicious.
You said base. I was thinking like the alcohol is the base.
So we add, you give me a glass of delicious orange juice. It's wonderful. Want to kick it up a notch in the morning? Add a little vodka, right? You want to do a rum and coke?
Shots of vodka.
You know, whatever. You're taking a beverage that is good and you're adding some booze into it. But the Bloody Mary, I don't know how it got popular because no one really likes tomato juice. Like, hey, you want a V8? God, no. It's disgusting. Unless you're trying to be old and healthy. But then we add some other crap to it and we're like, I guess I'll tolerate this. I'd be honest. I'll just drink straight liquor in the morning. I'd rather have that than be subjected to the Bloody Mary.
My mom is in with a little support for my take, by the way. She said, sushi's not cold. It's room temperature. Whereas as shrimp cocktail and like other cold seafoods are served like on ice.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair.
Thanks, Mom.
That's fair, but it's your mom.
Is it not a fair point?
I just said it's fair, but it's your mom.
Well, who cares who said it?
Well,
you're just sad.
You lose
didn't say
points
it.
Because it's your mom. All right. Where were we?
We got derailed.
Ooh, Malibu and OJ?
Love it.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't had Malibu for years.
Yeah, I mean, it's you feel pretty sissy about the whole thing, but it's wonderful. Same thing, Malibu and pineapple. It's a great morning. Great morning vacation cocktail.
Get out of here. White Russian, by the way, to your point.
Yeah.
I know you like White Russians.
Yeah.
But the Bloody Mary, like the base that nobody likes, but they tolerate because it's a good drink, is the White Russian. That's a great point.
Really? Because that,
yes.
I mean, the base of that is Kahlua and, I mean, I guess
you're. Or maybe the Black Russian.
Yeah.
No, it's the White Russian because it's got milk.
Cream.
Yeah, gross.
People
That's
don't
gross.
Like
people don't like delicious
milk
cream,
or cream
and cream. You
right.
put it on.
I don't.
Huh? You don't add cream to your coffee or
no? I drink black coffee.
I think way more people like cream than they do tomato juice.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's no debate there.
Yeah,
I stand down on that one. But I think I just think that's a weird thing to have in a drink. Like that's. Like what?
It does, because I do like those. That's a dessert drink. And
you would think that cream would like curdle with alcohol, right?
Yeah, people
like you have this thought in your head.
People often look at me very odd, especially now that I call them creamy Jonathans. Due to the war in the Ukraine, I can no longer in good conscience order a White Russian. I now order a creamy Jonathan at a bar, and I love the bartender's face when I order it.
All right, well, I've lost track of where we're
at. Yeah, we've been derailed.
No bikes at Ski Bowl next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is in the news for May 10th. Hot drink talk derailing us.
It happens. Well, it started with shrimp cocktails, and then next thing you know, we were derailed.
Mount Hood Ski Bowl has banned summer mountain biking after having to pay $10.5 million to an Oregon man who is paralyzed due to a crash.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
First off, that's terrible that he crashed, but why did they have to pay $9 million because someone crashed?
Well, so the guy, his name is Gabriel Owens. He was awarded $11.4 million. His lawyer said he hit a rut in the route, or would you like to go with route?
Yeah, I always say route, but, you know, route, route.
He hit a rut in the route and collided with a sturdy 4x4 wooden signpost installed directly next to the Double Black Diamond Cannonball Bike Trail. This was back in 2016.
Look, can I do not want to be insensitive because a man obviously got seriously hurt.
But you're about to be.
But I'm about to be, right? I mean, I don't want anyone to be hurt. The idea of, I mean, being paralyzed the rest of your life is beyond tragic, is one of my great fears. But I am fascinated at this. So a man who's mountain biking, kind of a dangerous thing, on a mountain, by the way, on a Double Black Diamond, crashes and then runs into a sign telling you that this trail is quite dangerous. And now he gets $11 million and no one can mountain bike? God, at what point do we take some self-responsibility and just, God, accidents happen. When you do dangerous stuff, accidents happen.
Well, his lawyers argued that...
Of course they did.
They argued that they should have had collapsible signage.
Oh. And that's 11?
Well, ultimately, he settled for $10.5 million because the lawyers who represented Mount Hood, the Ski Bowl, whatever, they threatened to appeal it, which would have locked up his money for a while.
Yeah.
So he was like, fine, just give me 10.5 and we're good. So they've settled. I mean, that's long gone. That's over.
Yeah, I'm glad he got the money because he's going to need the care. But, I mean, that blows my mind. Whenever I see these settlements on someone getting hurt, doing something that they knew was... it's a sign saying Double Black Diamond. Oh, no. That sign should have been collapsible.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. They said they should have installed collapsible markers at the trail crossing, likening the trail's condition to a speed bump on a highway that caused the former professional mountain bike racer to lose control of his bike.
He was a professional.
She said, this is his lawyer, this is akin to a pedestrian crossing right across I-5. Riders have no choice but to grit their teeth and go through it.
Wow. Man, I...
And she won.
I mean, I guess good for him for, I mean, you take your chance. I mean, you went through hell, but this just doesn't make any sense. And so now the rest of us, not that I'm choosing to go mountain biking up there, but I do own a mountain bike and I do go out sometimes, not on Double Black Diamonds. So now the rest of us can't mountain bike because you crashed.
Yeah. For the time being.
Cool.
It looks like they're cool rules, man.
Cool, yeah.
It looks like they're going to... It's not permanent, but it's this summer. Maybe to change the signage. I don't know.
Do they have those little... do they have the little sled carts? Because those things are fun. You know what I'm talking about?
You mean like the luge?
Yeah, you get on those little things and they you sled down. It's like a little track.
Yeah.
Dude, those things are badass. And I can't believe someone hasn't sued over that thing because... I don't know if there's a time been up there.
Is that
right?
The one where like they have races with multiple tracks next
to
each other?
Yeah. And there's always that one part that tells you to slow down because there's a steep drop and no one slows down and you see if you can catch some wicked air. I mean, that thing's badass, but I can't believe someone hasn't sued over that.
If you, let's say you have an accident of some variety similar to this and you are maimed in some way.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe not paralyzed.
But you're in some...
Because that's extreme.
You're in some trouble.
And you have an attorney that comes to you and says, look, I can get you money for this, and I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
Well, of course, they never talk like that. They always say, well, I'm really confident that I can get you money.
Ski Bowl's got some deep pockets.
Yeah, they're like, I can get... But I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to look bad. Like, you're going to look like...
Yeah.
Kind of the like the woman that sued the Max train when she got hit by the Max train. For walking in front of the Max train.
Yeah.
It's going to look like that, but he's going to get you, or she will get you $11 million.
Damn it.
You doing it?
And am I permanently like messed up? Like I've...
No, like I said, you're not paralyzed, but you are maimed. Like you are losing some form of
God,
operation of, let's say you're I don't know, your left leg or something.
I want to say that my pride would not let me do it, but man, $11 million is a lot of money.
You'd never have to see me again.
That's a lot of money.
I would expect a little kickback.
Yeah, a little something for putting me in touch with the lawyer. Rob's going to give a witness statement.
Hey, that was my lawyer.
That's what I said. I get why people do it. I get why Doug Brenner sued the NCAA for $100 million. I can sit up here and say that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I get why you're doing it, though. I just would like to think that I would have enough integrity to be like, no, man, I did this. No one's fault, my fault. But when you're thrown with that kind of money, I get why people do it.
Well, I had a garbage truck run through my house.
You did. I remember that.
We didn't sue him.
No, but you got a remodel out of it?
Well, insurance, yeah. Yeah. I mean, insurance paid for the repairs, obviously, but there was probably a lawsuit there.
Probably.
I don't know. We went to a lawyer, and he was great. He was like, look, I don't know. I remember the conversation vividly. He was just like, do you really want to, here's what that's going to be like. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of, you have insurance. That's what it's for. You bitch, get out of here.
I have had a couple
opportunities. He slapped me on my butt.
He said, hey, get out of here.
Get out of here.
You got tight cheeks.
I
have had a couple opportunities kind of like that where I probably could have sued. Now, it wouldn't have led to, massive money, but we were in a bad car wreck years and years ago on a rental car.
Yeah.
With a tire that blew out, and that was back during that Firestone thing. We probably could have pursued that angle. I've had some medical stuff that with the NFL that I probably could have gone down. It wouldn't have been this sort of settlement, but I have chosen to not pursue it.
It's got to be blatant. It's got to be like, oh my God, come on. I was totally wrong.
Yes.
And I'm going to sue your ass because I'm pissed off.
As opposed to me falling off my bike.
Could I? Well,
I mean, I ride my bike all the time and I've wiped out. I've never once thought, hey, you know what?
Hey.
Someone's responsible for this.
To wrap up the boozy woozy discussion, you were talking about hating Bloody Marys and find you another base of a cocktail that everyone hates.
Yeah.
But it's acceptable because you put booze in it.
Yeah.
Drew on Twitter brings up a great one.
What do we got?
Ginger beer.
Oh.
The Moscow Mule.
That may be.
That's a great one because nobody drinks ginger beer.
No,
nobody,
it's terrible.
I don't drink it.
No.
But the Moscow Mule is delicious.
And there's lots of different mules that are all delicious. That's
a good one.
That's a good one.
I guess that's. I've never had ginger beer by itself.
Me neither.
I've had ginger ale. People really drink ginger beer.
Ginger beer in my house that someone brought over for New Year's 2 years ago, and it's still sitting there waiting for us to make more Moscow Mules. It will never be drank unless we break it out for the mules.
That's in the news. May 10, 2022. The Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next. A little Blazer news today. Also, the PGA Tour is in on whether or not guys can go play in that Saudi-funded tour event over in London next month, and we'll tell you what they ruled when we return on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.